If you would turn in this at this time to Psalm 24, not in your Psalters, but in your Bibles, as we read Psalm 24, we will also be focusing on this psalm this evening as we read the whole psalm, but our particular focus will be verses 5 and 6 as we even look at the whole psalm. But let's give attention to God's Word as we take up Psalm 24. A Psalm of David. The earth is the Lord's and all its fullness, the world and those who dwell therein. For He has founded it upon the seas and established it upon the waters. Who may ascend into the hill of the Lord? Or who may stand in His holy place? He who has clean hands and a pure heart, who has not lifted up his soul to an idol, nor sworn deceitfully. He shall receive blessing from the Lord and righteousness from the God of his salvation. This is Jacob, the generation of those who seek Him, who seek Your face. Lift up your heads, O you gates, and be lifted up, you everlasting doors, and the King of glory shall come in. Who is this King of glory? The Lord, strong and mighty, the Lord mighty in battle. Lift up your heads, O you gates, lift up, you everlasting doors, and the King of glory shall come in. Who is this King of glory? The Lord of hosts. He is the King of glory. It sends the reading of God's Word. Well, here's a familiar phrase, perhaps a phrase you've even spoken. Let go and let God. I'm sure you've heard it. Maybe some of you even believe it. But it's the idea that all you have to do is give up your own effort to God and He'll see you through. He'll take care of the rest. The idea is that God is gracious and He is the one who makes us more and more holy. Christ is the one who sanctifies. So sit back, let go, rest in grace, and let God do all the work. Let go and let God. Some of you might, in fact, practice that and think that. But there's another perspective. The opposite perspective is this, and maybe you've even heard it from certain pulpits. Try harder, do more, put forth more effort. And the idea here is that clearly we're responsible. Christ doesn't believe for us. We're not robots. And it's by hard effort that we bring forth greater holiness. This is that idea. So which is it? Do we let go and let God, and He's the one who makes us more holy? We sit back on our hands? Or do we pick ourselves up by our bootstraps, put forth more effort, and sanctify ourselves by hard work? Which is it? Of course, sanctification is the process of becoming more and more holy and more like Christ. So to ask the question a different way, who is responsible for our holiness? Well, as we take a look at Psalm 24 tonight, and even though it might not be the primary focus of the text, as we look specifically or focus in specifically at verses 5 and 6, I believe we will see the answer is that you are to seek holiness and blessing from the Lord, but with Christ-empowered, unending effort. So maybe we see a combination of sorts between what we were asking before. But the idea that we see in our psalm is to seek holiness and blessing from the Lord through Christ-empowered, unending effort. Well, first, let's take a look at this idea of pursuing holiness. Well, at the beginning of the psalm, we're confronted in verses 1 and 2 with the Lord as supreme ruler over His creation. The earth is the Lord's and all of its fullness, the world and those who dwell therein. It's a picture here of God as Lord of all the earth, as Creator, as He rules and reigns. And then the psalm immediately goes into those types of people that He rules and reigns over. Yes, verse 1 speaks that He rules over all people, but then in verses 3 through 6, we see this idea of the type of people He rules over. Speaking of this nation, Jacob, who seeks His face, but describing those people, we see in verses 3 and 4, who has the right to enter into God's presence. Verse 3, who may ascend into the hill of the Lord, or who may stand in His holy place? It's He who has clean hands and a pure heart, who has not lifted up his soul to an idol, nor sworn deceitfully. In other words, the answer to the questions that the psalm poses here is that the people who are permitted into God's presence, the people whom God rules and reigns over in a particular way, in a gracious, specific way, it's those who are spotless, those who are absolutely holy, absolutely perfect in every way. Who among us can live up to this standard of not lifting our soul to an idol? John Calvin says our hearts are idol factories. We're churning out idols left and right. We even make ourselves idols. And then it goes on, nor sworn deceitfully. Who among us can say that we are pure in our lips as far as not swearing deceitfully, telling lies or being deceptive? But these are the types of people whom the Lord says He receives in His holy hill, those who are perfect and spotless. And so then, if we were honest with ourselves, wouldn't we be willing to admit that oftentimes we are content with mediocrity, a half-hearted holiness, or putting forth minimal effort in our spiritual walks? We have the idea of just barely scraping by or keeping our heads above water, or maybe after we persevere for a long time, we grow weary in our walks a bit, weary in our holiness, and think, I've earned a bit of a reprieve. I've earned a little bit of indulgence. I think oftentimes we view our walk with the Lord not as viewing it, be holy as I am holy, as the Lord sets the bar at that level, but we view it almost as if we just have to outrun a bear. You know, you of course know this idea of outrunning a bear. You don't have to outrun the bear itself, just your slowest friend, right? Because then the bear gets your slowest friend. And isn't that how we view holiness at points? As long as I'm doing better than my most unholy friend who's actually walking with the Lord, as long as that's my standard of holiness, I'm doing all right. We create a lower bar. But who is it that has the right to enter His eternal palace? It's none other than those who are perfect and spotless. And notice in verse 4, this is not speaking of someone else. It's saying, He who has clean hands, and He who has a pure heart, He who has not lifted up His soul to an idol, nor sworn deceitfully. It's us. It's we who are judged according to this standard of absolute perfection. And even if we just flip over a little bit to Psalm 18, we see, speaking in the same manner, Psalm 18, verse 20, that it says, the Lord rewarded me according to my righteousness, according to the cleanness of my hands, He has recompensed me. These are the people who have the right to God's presence, but don't we often want to let go and let God just kick back and relax and rest on grace? In other words, become lazy in grace. Or are you striving for absolute perfection in your walk? Not as a means of salvation, but is that your goal in life? Be holy as the Lord is holy. We indeed need to pursue holiness. But how is it that we are to pursue that holiness? And that's what we see in verses 5 and 6. He shall receive blessing. Now, who's it speaking of? It's those who have the right to ascend the holy hill of the Lord. It's the holy ones, right? He shall receive blessing from the Lord and righteousness from the God of his salvation. Who is it? Verse 6. This is Jacob, the generation of those who seek him, who seek your face. So that the type of person, this holy person, is Jacob, this nation, right? We obviously can speak of Jacob as Israel. That's his other name. It's a nation, the holy people, the godly people, who pursue the Lord and seek Him, seek His face. And so this is the way we are to seek holiness, like Jacob. Love how the Psalter actually translates this verse, seeking the Lord, all those who, like Jacob, are seeking your face. That we are to seek like Jacob. And so when we think about Jacob and his story, when do we think of him seeking the face of the Lord? When do we think of him seeing the face of the Lord? When do we think of him as seeking blessing from the Lord? Well, if we were to flip back to Genesis chapter 32, we would see the very account that this psalm indeed is referencing. How are we to seek this holiness? Like Jacob. To seek the Lord like Jacob. Let's look at Genesis 32, starting in verse 22. And he arose that night and took his two wives, speaking of Jacob, his two female servants and his 11 sons, and crossed over the ford of Jabbok. And he took them and sent them over the brook, and he sent over what he had. Then Jacob was left alone, and a man wrestled with him until the breaking of day. Now when he saw that he did not prevail against him, he touched the socket of his hip, and the socket of Jacob's hip was out of joint as he wrestled with him. And he said to him, "Let me go, for the day breaks." But he said, "I will not let you go unless you bless me." So he said to him, "What is your name?" He said, "Jacob." And he said, "Your name shall no longer be called Jacob, but Israel. For you have struggled with God and with men and have prevailed." Then Jacob asked, saying, "Tell me your name, I pray." And he said, "Why is it that you ask my name?" And he blessed him there. So Jacob called the name of the place Peniel, for he had seen the face of God, and my life is preserved. Just as he crossed over Penuel, the sun rose on him, and he limped on his hip. And so here we see the intensity of pursuing the Lord, pursuing blessing like Jacob. I often liken this to a screaming, unconsolable child who isn't getting what they want. And the child is like saying and screaming and wailing that basically, "I won't stop until you give me what you want, what I want." Maybe you've experienced this with a child throwing a tantrum, and I know there's a lot of sin in that. But setting the sin aside, that's the determination. That's the perseverance. That's the tenacity and the endurance that we are to have, like Jacob. Pursuing blessing, pursuing holiness, pursuing the Lord Himself. This is the same concept that Jesus mentions in Matthew chapter 11, verse 12, when He says, "The kingdom of heaven suffers violence, and the violent take it by force." Great image in John Bunyan's Pilgrim's Progress as Christian sees the celestial palace and he sees people fearful to even approach it because of the armed guards. And there's one named Courageous who dons a helmet and draws his sword, and he will not be stopped as he bursts through and enters the celestial palace. The endurance needed, the perseverance needed is the picture. And this is the violence and the vigor that we are to have when pursuing the Lord Himself. pursuing holiness. And notice the questions in our psalm again. Who may ascend into the hill of the Lord? Who may stand in His holy place? The answer basically is the one who endures, like Jacob. And remember that Jacob's name is changed to Israel as we see him striving and wrestling with the Lord. And Israel, of course, means God persists. And then it says his name was changed to Israel, which means God persists, for you have persisted with God and men. Isn't that curious? What is God speaking of here? Who is it that persists? God or Jacob? Remember, Israel means God persists. And then he says, for you have persisted with God and men. What on earth? He was wrestling with a man, and we know that that man is the angel of the Lord, and yet he says that he realizes that he saw the face of God, and he has survived, he has persisted. And so then what is this speaking about? Who has persisted? God or Jacob? Who is he persisting with? God and man? Humanity and deity? Do you begin to see? He was wrestling with Jesus Christ, the God-man. And isn't that the point? Who is it who persists? And isn't that the answer or the question that we see at the end of our psalm? Doesn't that lead us to the full answer of our question? Who is this King of glory? Who is it who ascends the hill of the Lord? Who is it who has not lifted up his soul to idols nor sworn deceitfully? Look what we see in verses 7 through 10 in our psalm. Lift up your heads, O you gates, and be lifted up, you everlasting doors. When do the gates that are everlasting need to lift up their eyes because one is entering in? And the King of glory shall come in. Who is this King of glory? The Lord strong and mighty. The Lord mighty in battle. Lift up your heads, O you gates. Lift up, you everlasting doors. And the King of glory shall come in. Who is this King of glory? The Lord of hosts. He is the King of glory. There's no prize for guessing the answer to our question, brothers and sisters. It's Jesus Christ, the victorious warrior, who has endured the test, who is ascending to the throne and to the celestial palace. But then the glory of heaven is saying, O eternal gates, look, because here comes the triumphant, victorious King of battle, the Lord Jesus Christ, who has endured, who has persisted, who is coming in to sit at the right hand of God the Father. That is what we see pictured here. And so in light of that, then let's look back at verse 1 and 2. Because as we see the Lord here, the earth is the Lord's in all its fullness, the world and all those who dwell therein. This idea that Jesus Christ is the King of kings and ruler of all. Surely He has always rightly ruled over the creation as the Creator. But as He is victorious after His work on earth, He has earned as man what He always rightly possessed as God. And He is enthroned in the heavens as King of kings and Lord of lords, the mediatorial King of all the earth, who has received all dominion and all power and all might that has been placed under His feet. And when was He this warrior King? How has He shown Himself mighty in battle? Should we say bloodied in battle? When did He endure? When did He persevere ultimately through the test? Well, His whole life, yes. But even to the point of death on the cross, that as He is raised and ascended, He's coming back bloodied from battle. The Lamb slain, who has rightly earned this glory and this reward. And it is He who tirelessly battled against sin and won the victory. And it is He who represents us. And it is He who enables us to fight. Do you see the lengths that Christ would go for your holiness? To make you a people who would seek Him like Jacob with unending perseverance and effort. It's by His perseverance. It's by Him never giving in, never giving up, never bowing to temptation His whole life. And how long can we go without bowing to temptation? But do you see the lengths that Christ would go to for your holiness? Some of you know that my wife is a super couponer. And I always marvel at the lengths that super couponers are willing to go for a deal. To find a cheap rate on an airline ticket or to get inexpensive groceries. If you see the things that the hoops that these super couponers at times go through, you think, was it worth it for that deal? And I think that's a marvel that my wife is willing to go through some of those hoops and these super couponers are willing to go to these lengths. But to what lengths are you willing to go to receive blessing and to receive honor and to receive reward and to be holy and pure? You see, I've still never answered the question from the beginning of our sermon. Who is it who sanctifies? Well, that answer is easy. It's Christ who sanctifies you. It is Christ who is making you holy. But does that mean that you just get to kick back and rest in grace and sit on your hands and let go and let God? May it never be so. May it never be so. Instead, men and women, because of the lengths that Christ has gone for your holiness, seek holiness and blessing from the Lord like Jacob, untiring, unceasing, never giving up. I will not stop until You bless me. And so He blessed him. And so, brothers and sisters, seek holiness and blessing from the Lord with Christ empowered, unending effort. May it be so. Amen. Let's pray together. Father, we thank You that the eternal gates have lifted up their heads and seen the mighty Lord of hosts, the warrior King of the Lord, entering after being victorious in battle, after being victorious over our sin and even the grave. And we thank You, Lord, that He has purchased for us those pure hands and clean hearts by His holiness, that we have received His purity. We thank You that we have indeed been cleansed so much that we can say that though it is Christ's holiness, that it is ours. It is ours. We are as holy as Christ for those who believe. And yet, Lord, may we never cease persevering and pursuing that same holiness and that same blessing that Christ has already purchased for us. Enable us by Your Spirit to continue to endure and never giving in and never giving up. Lord, make us more and more like Your Son. Until our last breath, when we will enter into Your holy hill and Your everlasting gates will lift up their heads as the bride of Christ enters in. May it be so. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.